Well, it is a privilege to be with you this morning and a privilege to open the Word of God. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. This morning, we're looking, and for those, I hope you received one. It may help you in taking some notes this morning. There was a notes page that I believe was handed out. Our title this morning is Christ Dispenses the Sacraments, or The Christ Dispenses the Sacraments. My burden this morning is that you see the invisible person in the room today. You may have heard the phrase, the elephant in the room, or the 900-pound gorilla in the room. That person that everybody is aware is there, but sometimes nobody talks about. Think about today the fact that though Christ is not visible, though it will be Pastor Wade up here, though it will be the elders who will be handing you the sacraments, that they are ministers, representatives of Jesus Christ. See Christ today with the eyes of faith, and you will be deeply blessed. The reason that this ceremonial meal takes the form that it does is because of what Jesus Himself said. We actually have two eyewitnesses who give us accounts of that, and we have those who are very closely associated with two other eyewitnesses. And so consider that we have a very good idea of what went on at the first Last Supper. And that the Lord's Supper, as it's come to be called, as the Scripture itself directs us to communion or the Lord's Supper, that this is, in fact, something that Christ Himself established. Today we're going to be looking at Matthew 26, and we'll read verses 26 through 30. Again, remember that Matthew himself was seated around the table. Matthew is not checking out some obscure, distant event. Matthew is an eyewitness of these things. And he writes, in order that we might know what the Lord's Supper means. Matthew 26, we'll begin at verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is the Word of God. Well, last night, for those of you who were here, last night we talked about how the gospel defines the sacrament. This morning we want to think about how Christ dispenses the sacrament. And so I really want you to see this as part two of this message. Tonight we're going to come back and we're going to even look at a third D. I did not plan this, I assure you, but somebody told me, so it's like the 3D view of the sacraments. Well, anyway, you're supposed to laugh at that part. But think about these three parts: the definition of the sacrament, the dispensing of the sacrament, and then tonight we're going to talk about the digestion of the sacrament. That's the one I'm most excited about. I hope you'll come back this evening. Did you know there are people who eat but cannot digest their food? It's a very severe medical condition. Have you extracted the maximum amount of nutritional value? I'm not talking of the elements themselves, but of the spiritual value, the spiritual nutritional value of the sacrament. That's what we're going to talk about this evening. The Lord's Supper is a simple biblical and mystical meal. We call it the Lord's Supper because He established this sacrament and He invites us into participation. In the supper, Christ draws very near to us so that, and here I'm quoting from the Westminster Larger Catechism, so that His body and blood are spiritually present to the faith of the receiver, no less truly and really than the elements themselves are to their outward senses. What our catechism teaches us here is that there is a near relationship between the elements that we'll see in just a few moments and your mouth. Okay, so think about the physical connection. It's going to come from the table, and it's going to come down the aisles, and it's going to come near to you. And as it gets physically closer to your physical body, there is a spiritual presence of Christ by His Spirit to the faith of the receiver. And so just as truly and just as really as these elements will come close to you, Christ comes close to those who receive Him by faith alone. We must be clear, friends. There is a perversion of the gospel that says if you partake of these elements today, you will go to heaven. It is a perversion of the gospel. That's why we talked last night about how the biblical gospel defines the sacrament. And so, in a sense, we've covered that error, and I want to remind us of that this morning. But today I really want to dwell positively on what God does in the hearts of believers in this sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Let us understand this meal. Let us together anticipate its benefits. And let us prepare our hearts to feed upon Christ by faith. And we'll look at this passage this morning under 4 points. Point number one, I want us to see that God communicates grace by His ordinances. By His ordinances. That is what God Himself has ordained. These are the things upon which we rely. You might put in parentheses beside point one, the means of grace. In historic Reformed theology, there are four means of grace. Arguably more, but at least these four. The Word, prayer, the sacraments, and fellowship. Today we're zeroing in on this issue of the sacraments. And what we need to see is that Christ dispenses grace. He gives grace to those who rightly receive the Lord's Supper. There is a real nourishment for your soul today, friends. I hope you have come hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Did you come hungry today? Have you been preparing your heart throughout this week? Those of you who were here last night, have you been preparing your heart throughout the evening so that you are hungry this morning? If so, Christ will satisfy you. That's the good news. He will nourish your souls as you partake of Christ as He's offered in the sacrament today. And I feel like I need to clarify, I'm not among my own people today, but we need to view what's happening today on two parallel tracks. One is the physical elements. There's bread and there's the cup underneath this cloth up here. And those will come to you today, and you who are communing today will take the bread and drink the cup. It's extremely simple. It's extremely simple. And on another level, you are here today, those of you who are in Christ, you are here with your mouth of faith wide open. And as truly as your physical mouth takes in the elements, so you can feed by faith upon Christ. You can be nourished by His strength. You can be forgiven by His redemption. You can be strengthened by His Spirit. He is present. in a real and powerful way today, although we must say not physically present. And so consider how God communicates grace by His ordinances. One of the things I did in preparing for this message was to go to our relatively new, newly revised directory for public worship for our denomination. And I find great wisdom and great clarity in some of these things. And I'd like to quote from that here this morning. So our directory for public worship states, "The Lord's Supper or communion is given by Christ," underline that, "by Christ to the church until He comes again, as a perpetual commemoration of the sacrifice in His death. It signifies and seals," we're going to come back to that word signifies in just a moment, "it signifies and seals the benefits of that death to true believers and nourishes their souls to grow in Him. It is also a covenant and pledge of their commitment to faithful discipleship and of their communion with Him and with each other as members of His body, the church. Friends, Christ has ordained this sacrament, and this sacrament has two elements to it. One is what God does, and the other is what you do." Look at it here. Christ died for you. He is giving His grace to you who are true believers in this sacrament. That grace will nourish your soul, that will strengthen you, that will guide you. And then you also have a part. You also have the part in that you are making a covenant and pledge. You are once again coming to God and saying, "You are my God. You have sent your Son to die on the cross for my sins. I am a disciple of Jesus." And so notice that there's a discipleship element in the Lord's Supper as well. We see that very clearly in that Christ commands us, and we must then respond to His command to what? Take, eat, and drink. This is for you. This leads us then to the second point this morning as we kind of drill down into the Lord's Supper. Point two is that Christ communicates grace by His Spirit in two elements. And again, it's very simple. We see these two elements presented here in Matthew 26. We see the element of the bread, and we see the element of the cup. So He communicates grace by His Spirit in two elements. The elements are bread and wine, and these represent, they do not become, but they represent the body and blood of Christ. They are signs of something else. Last night, our family came from Topeka, and it was kind of a long ride over because everybody was hungry. And so the kids were looking out the window and kept seeing the signs along Interstate 70 between Topeka and Shawnee. I forgot how long that road was, and how many signs are there advertising various restaurants. Oh, can we go here? Can we go here? And finally, we get to Shawnee Mission Parkway, and we're driving along. We say, well, should we go there? No, should we go there? And finally, we saw the sign for Jimmy John's. And I was so happy. Now, think carefully with me. If I went to the sign for Jimmy John's, would I be satisfied? Careful. It's up on the side of a building. It would involve getting a ladder. It would involve climbing up to the sign, and I would be extremely dissatisfied because the sign for Jimmy John's is not Jimmy John's. All right, it is what? It's made out of metal. It has a light behind it, plastic. Okay? And this has been helpful for me in realizing that the elements this morning themselves are signs pointing to a spiritual reality. The same way the Jimmy John's sign on the side of the building points me inside to the place where I get my food. In the same way, these sacramental elements are pointing us to Christ, where we are fed. The sign, and so point number one here, the sign and the thing signified. What I want us to ponder today is what is signified And we can answer it in one word. Jesus. Jesus is what is signified in the elements. So what are the elements? Look at them here in our passage today. First, we have point two, the element of the bread. And what's significant about this bread is that Jesus took the bread and then He broke it. And He said, "This broken bread is my body." Friends, what does this point to? The bread points us to the Christ giving His body upon the cross for our sins. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of His people. He is the one who was broken because He was under the wrath of God on our behalf. This is the gospel, friends. The bread points us to the gospel. When Jesus says, "This is my body," He's reminding us of what He will do in just a few short hours as He bears the brunt of God's anger against sin. And as He Himself is hung, He said, "I, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself." The bread points us to the sacrifice of Jesus. And then look at the second element in verse 27. Jesus takes the cup. He gives thanks for the cup, and then He gives it to them. And as He does, He says, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant." You'll notice that some texts of this passage say the blood of the new covenant. Paul explicitly uses this phrase, the blood of the new covenant, in 1 Corinthians 11. And so here we have Christ now offering this, and now He's invoking this language of Ezekiel, where there was the prophecy about God making a new covenant with His Spirit, and He'll write it on the hearts of His people. And here's Jesus saying the new covenant is here. Where, how does this new covenant come to pass? It says very clearly, "This is my blood." Friends, when was the last time you saw blood? When was the last time you saw large amounts of blood? It was either when an animal or a human body was pierced, when it was disfigured, allowing blood to come forth. This is not what should happen. And Jesus isn't just saying, "This is blood out there somewhere. This is my blood." What is the element of the cup pointing us to? It's pointing us to the shed blood of Jesus upon the cross. That's the third point. Here is the cup. So think about the sign and the thing signified. They are distinguished, but they are connected. Think about the bread and how it points us. The same way the Jimmy John's sign points us to the restaurant, so the bread points us to Jesus' body upon the cross. The cup points us to His shed blood. Friends, we need to see that this sacrament is all about remembering. It's all about remembering what Jesus has done for us. But we must be careful. Because even as we remember what Jesus has done for us in the past, the reality of His death upon the cross, we must remember that we are not worshiping some dead, buried sage of just another religion. Where is Jesus today? He is not hanging upon the cross. He is ascended, reigning. We can feed on Him not in some nostalgic way, but in the present reality that Christ the Sovereign has sent His Spirit to dwell in your hearts, all of you who are in Christ. What does this mean? That you can feed, you can draw strength from this risen, reigning Jesus Christ. This leads us then to the third point this morning. And here I want us to consider, we've thought about the two elements. But I want us to see point three, that Christ communicates grace in four sacramental actions. in four sacramental actions. You'll notice that Matthew is very careful here to describe to us the verbs. First, there are four things that Jesus does, and then there are two things He commands us to do. And I want us to meditate upon those. First of all, notice in verse 26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And then, look down in verse 27, it uses the same word, He took a cup. Now, the taking of these was a sacramental act. And it was significant in that it pointed to a historical event that we refer to as the Incarnation. And so the taking of these, okay, we're going to take ordinary things and we're going to bring them into this sacrament that Jesus is establishing. And so there will be a prayer later on. We set apart these elements from a common to a sacramental use. In the same way that Jesus, or let's be precise, the Son of God, took to Himself His humanity and dedicated Himself to the purpose that the Father had for Him. Number two, it says here, first of all, He blessed the bread, and then in verse 27, He gave thanks for the cup. He blessed and He gave thanks for the elements. Now think about what this means. Now, here is the Son of God praying to His Father. Not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, I have come to do the work that You have given me to do. Jesus blessed and gave thanks for these elements, and will do the same thing. Again, this represents His consecration to His saving work. Number three, He broke the bread. It says there specifically of the bread, He broke it. Okay, again, signifying His suffering and death upon the cross. And then He gave it to His disciples. Think about it. There's a lot of activity. Christ is busy in this ceremonial meal. Pastor Wade will be busy in just a few minutes. The elders will be busy. They are doing stuff because Christ did stuff. Because Christ does do stuff on our behalf. It's a beautiful thing to see these four sacramental actions. And you'll see there, I quoted from the Directory for Public Worship. And you can just do 1, 2, 3, 4 here. They correspond to the four points that I've made here this morning. His incarnation, number one. Number two, His consecration to His saving work. Number three, His suffering and death upon the cross. And number four, His offer of Himself as Savior. Friends, do you realize that Christ is offering Himself to you this morning? He's saying, this represents Me. Feed upon Me. Have fellowship with Me. Draw your strength from Me. Friends, this is what we do when we exercise our faith in Jesus Christ. This leads us then to the fourth point this morning. That here in this passage, Christ commands us to respond in two sacramental actions. Communion does not end with the bread and the cup being offered. That's not the end. Rather, they will be offered, take, and then those will be given to you, and you will have to then take. Jesus says, eat and drink, and you will then have to eat and drink. There's a response. This is why it's called communion. This is why the sacrament of the Lord's Supper represents God's action and our response. In order to have communion, there's parties in this. And so look at what it says. The actions of the communicants signify their acceptance of Christ and their feeding upon Him who is the bread of life to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. And so, again, see the command. It's issued here in verse 26. Take. Friends, have you taken Christ? This is why there was a meeting just prior to the church service this morning, and some were interviewed and then have been admitted to the Lord's table. This is why there's that little insert in the bulletin. Because it's only as you are in Christ that you can take with benefit. It is only as you profess your faith among the assembly of saints that people know of your profession of faith in Christ. Some of you today may need to take Christ for the very first time. You need to see that Christ is being offered to you right now in the gospel. That it's the gospel that defines the sacraments. That it's Christ who is bringing Himself to us today. Take Christ, friends. And then the physical element here. Point number two, eat and drink. When we understand that the elements are pointing not to themselves, but are pointing to Christ and all His benefits, then we are hungry. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Friends, do you want to be right with God? That's what Christ accomplished. We call it the imputed righteousness of Christ. If you are hungry for righteousness, Christ is the one to come to, because He will satisfy your hunger. He lived a perfect life. He died a substitutionary death. And He is the one who now on the eve of His departure to heaven is saying, take, eat, and drink. This is My body, which is for you. And so, consider today this second B, the dispensing of the sacrament, the giving of the sacrament. Consider what you are about to do when you receive that sacrament, when you take it. You not only take it from the tray, you not only take it, but you take it into yourself and it goes down into you and it is digested. That's what we'll be considering this evening. I'd like to close this morning by reading the question 174 of the larger catechism. Because here is the requirement of us. And consider the pieces here. There's a lot here. There's too much to talk about in great length, but a few highlights that I'll point out. Read with me, question 174. It is required of them that receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that during the time of the administration of it, with all holy reverence and attention, they wait upon God. Underline that. Wait upon God. In that ordinance. Friends, this is faith. This is letting God do what He has promised to do. Wait upon God today. Secondly, to diligently observe, underline that, diligently observe the sacramental elements, we've talked about those, and the actions. Number three, to heedfully discern, underline that, heedfully discern the Lord's body. Number four, affectionately meditate. I love how they do this. It's not just meditate, any old meditation, but to meditate with your affections. Friends, are you stirred today? Are your affections, holy affections for Jesus Christ, stirred up? That's what this sacrament is for. And so affectionately meditate upon the death and sufferings of Christ. That He did that on your behalf, for your benefit. And then finally, and thereby, underline this, stir up themselves to a vigorous exercise of their graces. Now there's more there, but I want us to just think about those pieces. To wait upon God, to diligently observe, to heedfully discern, to affectionately meditate, and then I think by all of these, to stir up ourselves to a vigorous exercise of our graces. Consider what this means, friends. Consider the action of your soul, even as there's going to be some fairly simple but very important movements up here in just a few moments. Christ is offering himself to us today. He's the one who says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink, all of you, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And then I want to just conclude with by reading verse 29. "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus was hung on the cross. He was offered wine and he refused to drink it. I think connected to this statement right here. The day is coming, friends, when we will eat and drink with Christ in what he calls my Father's kingdom. Let us pray. Oh Lord, how thankful we are that you draw near to us in this sacrament today. Lord, we've sought to examine ourselves in the light of your law. And Lord, at this time, we draw near to say that we belong to you. Lord, I pray today that those who are here would benefit from this supper by not looking to the supper as an end in itself, but as a sign pointing to Christ and all his benefits. Oh Lord, we pray that you would stir us up. We pray, oh Lord, that you would animate us by your word and spirit, that we might derive the benefit that you have promised from this supper. Lord, thank you for your broken body. Thank you for your shed blood. And oh Christ, we ask today that you would give us the enabling grace to benefit from it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.